Heavenly Father, when we come before you, we ask that you open our eyes so that we can learn from your servant Paul and how to defend our faith. And we know that those people who are faithful in serving you, the enemy try to discredit them. And I pray that you help us to learn from it and prepare ourselves when we face difficulty like this, and how do we defend ourselves. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And in chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 12, and now this is our boast, our conscience testify that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. When you defend yourself, you need the holiness and sincerity that from God. And Paul said that his conscience testified that he conduct himself in the world, especially in his relationship with the saints in Corinth, in the right way. And then Paul said that we have done so, not according to the worldly wisdom, but he done so according to God's grace. And if someone try to discredit you, we need God's grace, we need God's holiness, we need God's sincerity to defend ourselves. That is our character. And we need God to change our character. The best way to change our character, according to the book of Romans chapter 5, the best way to change our character, as is recorded in chapter 5 verse 3, not only so, we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that the suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produce character. Character means his conscience testify that he have conducted himself in the world, and especially in his relationship with the saint in Corinth, in the holiness and sincerity. Not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. Because through the suffering or experience, that suffering produces perseverance. You keep on doing God's word, you keep on doing the right thing, the perseverance produces character. And then character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our heart by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So Paul gone through a lot of suffering, and just like in chapter 1 verse 5, 2 Corinthians, for just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our life, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. The more Paul suffer, the more Paul act like Jesus Christ. So that's why it's not me who live in myself, it is Christ who live in him. And he's using the character that Jesus Christ changed him to testify that he is the servant of God. And then verse 13, Paul said, for we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. In other words, whatever I write to you, you can read it and you can understand it. You know what I'm talking about. Why? Because my sheep recognize my voice. And I hope that as you have understood us in part, not fully understanding, right beside you understand in part, this is part of the growing process. This is part of the growing process. Although you understood us in part, you will understand, you will come to understand fully. When the congregation understand fully the pastor that who minister to you, and you can boast of us, just as we will boast of you in the day of our Lord Jesus. What is the reason why Paul can boast of the saints in the church of Corinth in the day of the Lord? In the day of the Lord, that means in the second coming, in the judgment time, Paul can boast of the saints in Corinth because of what Jesus Christ has said in the book of Acts, chapter 18. When Paul just about to throw his towel and walk away from the city of Corinth, and then that night, 18 verse 9, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, keep on speaking, do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack you and harm you, because I have many people in this city." Circle the word. I have many people in this city, because Paul knows that staying in Corinth can bring a lot of people to Jesus Christ. That's why, because of what Jesus promised to him, that's why Paul said that we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus told me that if I keep on staying in the city of Corinth, and Jesus said, I have many people in this city, keep on doing your work. Your work will not be in vain. Your work will, you will harvest the labor of your work. So Paul obeyed, stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. Paul not only stayed a year and a half. On top of that, Paul write the 1 Corinthians and write the 2 Corinthians. He know that his labor in the Lord will never be in vain, as how he encouraged the brother and sister in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. And he encouraged other people using that word to encourage himself. Therefore, my dear brother, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. If he tell other people to give fully to the work of the Lord, he himself give fully to the work of the Lord, because the Lord told him, I have many people in this city. Brother and sister, if you hear the word of the Lord, even though you face tribulation, troubling, and distress, you remember what God has said. No matter how many promises God has made to you, they're all yes. You hold on to it, you will get blessing. Okay, let's get back. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. When the congregation only understand Paul in part, and then when someone tries to deceive them, they're waving. They don't know what to do. And that's why Paul writes the 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Now you are infant, you understood us in part, but when you come to maturity, you will come to understand fully. When you understand fully, you will boast of us, boast of the pastor, just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. The most important thing is when we see Jesus Christ face to face in the judgment seat of our Lord Jesus Christ, do we receive blessing? This is the main thing. Verse 15, because I was confident of this. What kind of confidence Paul had? Paul's confidence of this is he believed that Jesus said, I have many people in this city, so that's why he keep on serving this church. Although only staying there for 18 months, when he left that church, he keep on encouraging them by writing 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. That is the confidence that he has in God's promises. He believed that God can use him to lead a lot of people to Jesus Christ. And eventually, Paul will boast of the saints in church of Corinth in the day of the Lord. Because of this confidence, I plan to visit you first so that you may benefit twice. You remember that 2 weeks ago? What did I say? And Paul intended to go to the city of Corinth, but first go to Corinth, the city of Corinth, and then go to Macedonia. Finish the task for Macedonia, he wanted to come back to Corinth. So that's why he has visited twice, right? The reason why he wanted to visit the church, because he loved this church. He knows that his labor in this church will not be in vain. And when he's going back to the church of Corinth and go to Judea, go to Jerusalem. That's his plan. And then Paul defends, explain why he wants to visit you twice. I plan to visit you first so that you may benefit twice, because I will come to your place twice. The more the pastor comes to your church, the more you get the blessing, because Paul wants to strengthen their faith. Okay? Verse 16. I plan to visit you on my way to Macedonia and come back to you from Macedonia, and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. When I planned this, Paul said, did I do it lightly? Another translation say, do I do it quickly? Or do I make my plan in a worldly manner? I want to circle the word worldly manner. And then write down chapter 1, verse 12. Paul say that when we conduct ourselves in the world, especially in our relations with you, we've done so not according to the worldly manner, not according to the worldly wisdom. He didn't do it in a worldly way. He do it according to God's grace. He do it according to God's word. Because in Acts chapter 18, Jesus Christ promised him, I have many people in this city, and he believed in it. Although he left that place, he keep on strengthening the faith of the brothers and sisters, so that he willing indeed to do the work of the Lord. So when he make plan like this, he didn't do it lightly. He make plan like this according to the promise of God. He himself believed in the promise of God. Brother and sister, remember one thing. If the preacher himself do not believe in the promise of God, whatever the promise he tell you, you don't believe in it. He himself has to believe in it. When he tell other people, be strong in the Lord, for your labor in the Lord will never be in vain. That's how he encouraged other people. He himself did that too, right? If he himself waving, how can you encourage other people? And he said that the more he suffer for Jesus Christ, the more he get comfort from Jesus. And then with the comfort that he received from Jesus Christ, using that comfort to comfort other people. And that's how we do it. And then he say, or do I make my plan in a worldly manner? No, he make his plan right beside that, right beside worldly manner. You write that Acts chapter 18. You follow this pattern, you yourself get blessing. You write down 18, verse 10 and 11. Because Jesus said, I have many people in this city. And Paul obeyed, so Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. Not only teaching them face to face, and teaching them through the writing of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. That will benefit not only the church in those days in Corinth, but also benefit the apostolic Bible church. So we can read, we can understand 1 and 2 Corinthians. Thank God for the problem that the church of Corinth has, and then we can learn from it. So I make my plan not in a worldly manner, I make my plan according to God's promise. You write that down. So that in the same breath, I say yes, yes, and no, no. I know for sure when God promised me that I have many people in this city, I believe in it, I work on it, I will see the harvest. I tell you one illustration. In 1985, if I remember right, and Canada faced a severe famine, because at that time, the interest rate is 21%. 21% interest rate. And the economy is really, really bad. And I lost my job at that time. And I'm so eager to go back to get a job. I hear very clearly the Lord say to me, stay put, stay at home. I want you to use this time to study the scripture. And I stay at home and study the scripture for 3 months. I've gone through from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And after 3 months, I hear very clearly the Lord say to me, now you can go and look for a job. The first job I got is J.K. Campbell. I remember. I don't think this company exists anymore. And I approached to the owner. I say to him, I left the company. And I, could you give me the job? I can handle it. He gave me the first job. Do you know how much is it? The job is $3,000. I finished it in 1 week. And then when I get the check, when I send the invoice, I get a check. I struggle. I say to myself, should I give $300 of that $3,000? And lo and behold, the Holy Spirit said to me, don't you remember a year before, in 1984, you write a faith pledge that on top of that tithing, you say that you're going to give $3,000? That $3,000 belongs to me. So when I hear that, so I just write the check, $3,000, give it to the church as a faith pledge on top of the tithe. And you know what? Once I give the $3,000, because I hear his promises, I make the pledge. I say, I'm going to give you $3,000. I don't know that I will lose the job a year before in 1984. And I give a $3,000. And after I get a job, I go to Imperial Oil. It's the project that I did, the warehouse. And I think in 3 months, I make $60,000 in that job. At that time, I asked Stephen to help me to do the electrical work too. Okay? And lo and behold, let me tell you one thing. No matter how many promises God has made to you, they're all yes. They're all yes. You remember that, you hold on to it, you just do it, and you taste the goodness of the Lord. According to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it is impossible to please God without faith. In other words, when God promised you something, you hear that, you ignore it, you don't do it. You know what? If I ignore that, if I just hold on to that $3,000 and I don't give that $3,000, I only give $300, I don't think I will make the $60,000. You understand what I'm trying to say? The Lord proved himself to me that he is faithful. When he called me to go to New York, he asked me, you go down to the basement, look at all the dry food and canned food that you have. He said that. Is it because of your strength that you make that money to store that kind of food? I come from Hong Kong, you know what I mean. You know, when that storm comes, you know, there's no food, you know, I stock it up, you know. I stock it up, you know. You know, when I studied the Second Corinthians, the Lord reminded me, he's a faithful God. Whatever he told you, you hold on to his promise, you just do it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 saying, it is impossible to please God without faith. Whatever he told you, you believe on it, and you act on it, you do it, you see his greatness, you see his goodness. From the goodness of your love, from the fullness of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I have received one blessing after another. God is an impartial God. He does not show favoritism. You follow him. You listen to him. You plan your trip. You do your thing, not according to the worldly manner, but according to the wisdom of God, according to what he promises, you experience the same kind of blessing. Why? Because the book of Hebrews chapter 13 said, my Lord Jesus Christ remained the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not joking. He's telling you the truth. Man will lie.
But Jesus Christ said, I never lie. Whatever I promise to you, I will carry it on until fruition. He will accomplish his task according to his plan. So brother and sister, when you do business, don't make your plan in a worldly manner. Make your plan according to God's wisdom, according to God's grace. You will receive blessing. When I was an engineer working for someone, you know, when people give you a pay raise bonus and you're so happy, that's just so limited. But when you are on your own, when you do business, he bless you. You know that left, right, and center, this is from the Lord. You keep on serving him. You can hold on to John chapter 1, verse 16. From the fullness of your grace, I can receive one blessing after another. Everybody say? We all can experience the blessing, brother and sister. All we have to do is believe in him. Don't let go. Don't change your mind. And you hear that, you hide it within your heart, and you do it. And then Paul says in verse 18, for as surely as God is faithful, right beside God is faithful, you write down Psalm, but in the Chinese translation, you don't have that. NIV translation, you have that. The Lord is faithful in all his promises. I want you to write that down. Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verse 13. The Chinese one, you don't have that, but NIV, they have that. The Lord is faithful to all his promises. And the Lord is loving towards all he has made. We were created in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord loves us. We know that. And the Lord is faithful to all his promises. Make sure when you study God's word at home, you hear his voice. Are using Peter teaching to encourage you. Turn to Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter is the one who sees the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then he encourages us how to see the glory of our Lord Jesus. You write that down, chapter 1, verse 16 to 18, how he was led into the Mount of Transfiguration, he sees the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 19 to 21, he encouraged us how we see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ when we study at home. He was led to the Mount of Transfiguration. He see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he say, if you stay at home and study the word of God, you can also see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like when I am employed, and then I read the Bible, he say to me clearly, stay at home until I tell you to go out. I stay at home. I read the scripture. Go to chapter 1, verse 16. I read it to you very, very clear. When I read it, you can understand. We do not follow cleverly invented stories. That's worldly wisdom. When we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitness of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased, at the Mount of Transfiguration. You write that, Matthew 17, Mark 9, Luke 9. That's the transfiguration experience that he saw the glory of our Lord Jesus. We ourselves heard his voice and came from heaven. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. Verse 19, he's seen the glory of God. God doesn't show favoritism. God is impartial God. When God lead him and he see the glory of God, God can lead you. You can see the glory of God too. In verse 19, and we have the word of the prophet make more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it. Study it and study it diligently. Pay attention to what you're reading. As to a light shining in the dark place, until the day dawn and the morning star rises in your heart. Right beside the morning star, you write down Revelation chapter 22. If I remember right, it's verse 16. Jesus say, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright morning star. Brother and sister, when you study the scripture at home, make sure the bright morning star appear in your heart, give you light, give you insight as to how to do your business, how to do your work, and he will bless you. When he blessed me, then he called me a few years later. All the wealth treasure that you accumulate, it is because of your worldly wisdom you accumulate that, because by my grace, I say yes. Then he says, follow. I will show you grace. Verse 20, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never has its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Lord is faithful to all his promises. Make sure, brother and sister, when you go to the church, you see the bright morning star shining into your heart, that you have a better understanding when you plan your trip, plan your thing, do your thing, you do it according to God's promises. Be patient. He will speak to you. Just like a father loves his son, want to speak to his son. Our Heavenly Father want to speak to us. Father, Pastor, what's the proof? The proof is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, in the past, God spoke to our forefather through the prophet at many times and in various ways. That is in the past. But in this last day, God has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. God spoke to us through the prophets in the past, to our forefather. Now God spoke to us through his son, Jesus Christ. His son, Jesus Christ, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, God, Jesus Christ, spoke to you through the apostles, through the writing of 27 books of New Testament. God spoke to us through the 39 books of the prophets in the Old Testament. God spoke to us through the 27 books in the New Testament. So, go back. As surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. The reason why some people discredited Paul, because if he planned his trip, sometimes he say he come to us twice, now he only come to us once. He changed his mind. His message is not credible. It's not reliable. No, Paul say that. As surely as God is faithful, our message to you is also faithful. It's not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and by Silas and by Timothy, by three of us, our message was not yes and no. Our message was not yes and no. But in Christ Jesus, our message has always been yes. That means the Lord is faithful to all his promises. How do you prove yourself that you are servant of God? I want you to write that down right beside our message. You write down Gospel of John, chapter 3, 34. If you are truly sent by God, just like Jesus Christ is sent by God, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will preach the message of God. He teach the message of God. He remember the word of God. And then when he delivered the message, he was filled with the Holy Spirit without limit. That's the proof that Jesus Christ, according to the Hebrew chapter 3, Jesus Christ is the apostle. The first one. Turn to Hebrew chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thought on Jesus, the apostle. The apostle is capital letter A. The apostle. The first one. Jesus Christ himself is the apostle sent by God the Father with a message. So his message is trustworthy, reliable. Because when he delivered the message, he was filled with the Holy Spirit without limit. He only preached the message of God because he knows that God is faithful to all his promises. And then Paul said that, me too, because I follow the example of Jesus Christ. And I'm sent by Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And our message to you is always here. As long as you are in Christ Jesus, you obey Jesus, you can recognize his word. And you follow that, you will get the same kind of blessing. Verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him he has always been yes. I want you to write that down. What is our message? Circle the word our message, and then circle the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That is our message. Paul is a good man. I tell you why. Right beside our message, you write down, number one, Son of God. Number two, Jesus. Number three, Jesus Christ. You put all this together, this is equivalent to 1 John, chapter 3, verse 23. What is God's command to all of us? God's command to all of us is to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. You know what? He himself preached this message because this message can guarantee you that you receive the Holy Spirit. You preach that Jesus is the Son of God. How do I know Jesus is the Son of God? Right beside the Son of God, you write that down. Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Jesus Christ is not only the Son of God, he's the Son of David. He's a descendant of David in verse 3, in verse 4. He's not only the Son of David, he's also the Son of God. How do I know he's the Son of God? Through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the mighty power to prove that he's the Son of God. What's the definition of God? The definition of God is he will never die. When Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, according to Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, what did the Bible say? I was dead, and now I'm alive, and I live forever and ever. I hold the key of David. I hold the key of death and destruction. I overcome death. And through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Romans chapter 1 verse 4, He is the Son of God. When you preach that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus is a Savior. Jesus means Savior, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. I'm sorry, 1:21. Jesus, that name Jesus means Savior, to save His people from this wicked world. And Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the anointed. You write that down, the Christ. Write down Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. You write down Isaiah 42, 1. You write down Isaiah 61, 1. The Lord has anointed me. There's only one people He was anointed by God Himself. You write that down in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. Jesus Christ opposed to John the Baptist and asked John the Baptist to baptize him, and John the Baptist tried to resist that. He said, I should be baptized by you. Now you ask me to baptize you. He said, we should do that to fulfill the righteousness of God. So John the Baptist baptized him. By the time when he rise up from the water, you know what happened? The heaven opened, the Holy Spirit come down, descended like a dove unto his body. That's the anointing of God. And then the voice coming from heaven saying that, this is my Son whom I love. It's the Son of God. That's the message. That's the prophecy. That's the promise. You know what? He not only preached that. He tells Silas to make sure you preach that. He tells Timothy, make sure you preach that this message. If you preach any message other than Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Son of God, all those audience will not get salvation. Make sure you preach that. When you preach that, those people who believe in it, according to Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14, anyone who believes that good news, the gospel, will receive the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. What's the word of truth? Jesus is the Christ, Jesus the Son of God. The gospel of your salvation, having believed in this gospel, this truth, you were marked in Him with the seal of ownership. You don't belong to yourself, you belong to God, because He purchased you with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you receive the promised Holy Spirit. What's this got to do with our salvation? Because the Holy Spirit is the deposit guarantee our inheritance. Brother and sister, if you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you can enter the millennium kingdom. You can reign with Jesus for 1,000 years as king and as priest, as Thomas in the Bible. Make sure we preach the message. Make sure you hear the message. Jesus is the Son of God through His resurrection. Jesus is the Christ because He was baptized. He was anointed. He was baptized by John the Baptist. And God said to John the Baptist, you will baptize all the people of Israel until one day you see the Holy Spirit come down upon that person, and that person will baptize people with the Holy Spirit. I come to baptize with water to you, and Jesus Christ will come to baptize with you with the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, amen. Preaching this message can help people, those who believe in it, receive the Holy Spirit. He not only say that in Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14, He said that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. As long as you obey Him, as long as you plan according to His word, you do things according to His promise, you will receive the blessing of this promise. So through Jesus Christ, the amen is spoken. Through Jesus Christ, right beside circle the word through Jesus Christ. Whenever you pray, make sure when you pray, according to John chapter 14, 13 to 14. When you pray, make sure you pray in Jesus' name. I will do whatever you ask in my name that means through him, so that the Son of God may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Make sure when you pray in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. He mentioned it twice, Gospel of John 16, 23 to 24. The latter portion of verse 23. Before you never pray to me in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, now you pray, your joy will come to the fullness. 16. Verse 23, in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Make sure you pray to God in Jesus' name. Until now, you have never asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. And right beside this, 16:23, 16:24, you write down 14, 13, and 14. And I want you to write down one more thing too. I give you two other more promises. I want to make sure in your prayer, you get what the Lord promised you. Right beside 13 to 14, chapter 4, 14, you write down verse 12. Whatever I do, you follow me, you do it. When you obey God, and you do greater things than what I have done, because I went to the Father. In other words, you not only pray in Jesus' name, you obey him, you do what he do, and you do greater things than this by his power, because he is with God the Father, he prays for you, he empowers you. In other words, you obey him. When you obey him, he gives you nothing but blessing. Verse 12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than this because I'm going to the Father and sit at his right hand and pray for you. In other words, you not only pray in Jesus' name, you obey Jesus. Then you get nothing but blessing. I give you one more promise. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Make sure when you pray, you gain favor from him. You do things that he delights. He's pleased with your action. When you do things that you pleases him, you know he's going to give you whatever you ask of him. 3:22, 21 verse. Dear friends, if our heart do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from God anything we ask because we obey his command and do what he says. I give you one more blessing. One more promise. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14 and 15. When you pray, make sure you pray according to God's will, according to God's promises. You got it. 1 John 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God when we pray to God. That if we ask anything according to his will, you write that down, according to his promise, according to his word. Right beside his will, you write down 14, 145 Psalm, verse 13. Because the Lord is faithful to all his promises. You write down 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. No matter how many promises there are in Christ Jesus, they are all yes. I recap. Do you, when you pray in Jesus' name? When you pray, make sure you gain favor from Him. You do what Jesus did. When you pray, make sure you obey Him. When you pray, make sure you pray according to God's promise. That's all promises. It's just that. Everybody say? We all can experience that. Because God doesn't show faith in us. Make sure you learn from Nehemiah, the last chapter, the last verse, 13:31. When Nehemiah has done great things for the Lord, you know what did he say? He said, "Oh Lord, remember me with favor." Turn to 13:31. The last word, when he finished everything. He began his ministry in chapter 1 with prayer. He ended his ministry with prayer. That guy, he prayed in Jesus' name. That guy, he did things that pleases the Lord. And that guy obeyed God. And that guy seek favor because he done great things for the Lord. Remember me, oh my God, with favor. That's it. You know, you write beside here, write all these promises I write to you. John 14, 13, 14, 16, 23, 24, 1 John chapter 5, 14 to 15, 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, 1 John 14 and 12, right? You got that, man. Remember that in your heart when you pray. Doesn't have to be long. It has to be in the right way, okay? And then the Bible says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Jesus Christ, that means in God's name, in Jesus' name I pray, and then the amen is spoken by us. When you pray like this, you bring glory to God. You know why you bring glory to God? When you pray like this, you write it down. When you pray like this, you get the blessing. What is your response? Your response is Psalm 50:23. You say, "I give thanks to you." Anyone who gives thanks to the Lord God Almighty is to glorify Him and honor Him. You don't pray in Jesus' name, you don't got it. You don't pray according to His will, you don't got it. You don't do things that pleases Him, you don't get it. You don't obey Him, you don't get it. You obey Him, you get it. When you get it, you say, "Thank you, God." You say, "Thank you," that means you honor Him. You honor Him, it's a win-win, right? I like it, okay? Make sure when you pray, the amen is spoken to the glory to God by us. Thank you, God, for this promise. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. How did God make us stand firm in Christ? God make us stand firm in Christ, right beside in Christ, instead of full stop, you write down, colon, right here. Number one, how did God make the preacher and make the saint in Corinth stand firm in Christ? Number one, God anoint you. Secondly, He set His seal of ownership on us. He put the Holy Spirit in your heart and tell you that you don't belong to yourself, you belong to Jesus. Set His ownership on us. That one is based upon the Old Testament promises. Turn to Psalm 100. Make sure when you come to God and worship God, make sure you know this. You do not belong to yourself. You belong to God. I read that to you. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Everyone has to shout for joy. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful song. Know, make sure you know that. Know that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. It is He who makes us. We are His. The original language means we are not ourselves, because He put a seal of ownership on us. We belong to Him. When you worship God, you make sure you know what? The Lord is God, number one. Make sure you know that it is He, it is the Lord Jesus who make us. And make sure that we are His, we are not ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves, because He set His seal of ownership on us. We belong to Him. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. When you know that, you pray in God's name, then you're going to be so happy. You enter His gate with thanksgiving. You enter His court with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endure forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. He not only blessed you, He blessed the work of your hand. He blessed your fruit. He blessed your children until 1,000 generations. It is God in verse 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm. How did He make us stand firm? Number one, He anointed us. Number two, He set His seal of ownership on us. Number three, He put His Spirit in our heart as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You know, the Chinese translation didn't have it so clear. The English NIV translation, good. Mention it 3 times. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit. Make sure you hear the message, you receive the Holy Spirit, and then finally, how do I know Paul is the servant of God? Because his message, his essential message, he didn't preach any other thing. And he talked about God's promises. That's what makes his message trustworthy. He talked about God's promises. And finally, and when he preached before God, before Jesus Christ, and God is his witness. Verse 23, I call God as my witness, and it was in order to spare you that I do not return to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, because it is by faith that you stand firm. You have to believe that. Believe what? Believe that you have been anointed by Jesus Christ. You have His seal of ownership on you. You know that God has put His Spirit in your heart as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And by believing that, you will stand firm. And what's the reason why? Paul wants to go to Macedonia, but he comes to the Corinth first. When he comes to Corinth, he found out that they are not ready for his second trip. He didn't want to lord over their faith. He wants to spare them instead of discipline them. So Paul said, I'm not coming back, but when the time comes, I will come back. At first, he planned to come twice because he wanted to give them double blessing. But once he'd been there once, found out they're not ready to receive it, he didn't want to lord over them. He didn't want to force them. You understand? Give them time. Our Heavenly Father, we heard what you have said to us, and help us to learn the gentleness from Paul, to not lord over the congregation that we minister to. Allow them to grow and work with them, just like what Paul said, work with them. Not that we lord it over your faith. We don't force them to believe in it. We give them a choice to take the liberty to believe it or not to believe it. When they don't believe it, they will face the consequences. When they believe it, they will get the blessing. But we work with you for your joy, because it is by faith you stand firm. And Lord, I pray that you help your servant wherever he goes, when he preaches clearly, with clarity, so that your children be fed with your word and can grow into maturity. I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus.